If you thought the fight over Site C was over, well, you'd be wrong. The people who have been opposed to the building of the dam from the start maintain their position, and they're watching closely as the megaproject continues to claw its way into the banks of the Peace Canyon. The Peace Valley Landowner Association, along with the Blueberry River and Moberly First Nations, continue to argue the project is not needed, is environmentally unsound, and will ultimately be a colossal waste of money. As proof, they point to the C.D. Howe report of January 2019, which says that canceling the project and replacing it with alternative energy sources will be less expensive than completing it, even when factoring in sunk costs. The Boones, whose farm has been expropriated because it will be underwater once the dam is completed, invited us to take a look at the project from their perspective, which they maintain is not required. We sat down with Ken Boone and Bob Federley in the Boone family kitchen for a conversation that matters about the project Premier Horgan campaigned against, only to approve once in office. And I also encourage you to view the conversation I had with past BC Hydro CEO Jessica McDonald on why the Site C dam was required.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Welcome. Thank you for inviting me to be here at your home. Ken and Bob, thanks for joining us to talk about where we're at with the Site C project, its impact on the people here in the valley, where we're at as far as construction, things that you have learned about it, and has the argument ever actually gone away that Site C is really needed? Let's start, Ken, with you, because we're here in your property. What has been the impact on you?
To Arlene and myself personally, of course, you know, it meant the expropriation of our land here. This house, you know, we're just basically squatting in BC Hydro's house now. And of course, the destruction that's taken place in the valley and the displacement that's happened, you know, all through the valley right mm-hmm. now. You know, and so, you know, that's on a personal level. And of course, you know, there's so many different levels that this is impacting people. And as my role as president of the Peace Valley Landowner Association, of course, you know, what Site C has meant is us going to court three times and unsuccessfully. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the involvement with the occupation of Rocky Mountain Fort, you know, on a personal level from myself and others. And then, of course, the injunction that was granted against us on that, the removal of the fort and the civil suit placed upon six of us, that's still over our heads right now. That's still a live issue.
And still, you are not backing down, really, because as we discussed before we were on camera, you still ask yourself, okay, do we need Site C? Is the evidence there that we need Site C? Bob, from your perspective, where are we at as far as understanding what the need for Site C is?
Well, I think if you look at it, the demand profile for BC generated electricity, we can see that it's stayed flat and is dropping in some instances. When you look at industrial use, we're doing everything we can to reduce consumption from every facet of our lives,
and which is contrary to what was predicted, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, we heard wild demands that the population of BC is going up by 1 million, and you know, we're going to see 20% year over year increases in demand, and it just has not materialized. And any outlooks that you see in the future, it's not going to materialize.
Well, and there's a number of considerations around that. There was the idea that all of these electronic devices were going to continue to draw an enormous amount of power, but we've seen them become so energy efficient that they draw trickle amounts now. And is it not best that our best way to create new power is to conserve the use of current power?
Oh, certainly. Conservation is by far and away our best value generating electricity, surplus electricity. And BC has a luxury of tremendous amounts of surplus electricity, and you know, we're actually trying to give the stuff away sometimes in the middle of the night, that sort of thing, where we can put all of these idle time charging applications to work for us. BC is in a luxury position when it comes to renewable energy sources, because we have the backup and standby generating capacity to make the best use of those things of practically anywhere in Canada.
So I gotta get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Conversations That Matter is brought to you by Odlum Brown, a client-focused investment firm that starts client relationships with straightforward conversations focused on you, your aspirations, and your investment priorities. Odlum Brown has been a supporter of Conversations That Matter from the day we started this show. Their only condition was that we provide a non-biased conversation with people from all sides of all sorts of issues. And of course, we couldn't produce this show without the support of Oh Boy Productions. If you're looking to produce a show like this one, I suggest you reach out to Oh Boy. They can help you produce it, and they can help you build your audience. And we also need your support. I ask you to please pledge $1 per show by going to conversationsthatmatter.tv/donate, because those dollars add up and play an important role in helping us produce this show. Now, back to the show. Well, and I think it's worth pointing out that you're not just making this up because you don't want the project to go ahead. Mm-hmm. The Utilities Commission said, no, we don't need it. And was not the Utilities Commission supposed to be that benchmark that the current premier was going to use to decide whether or not he was going to move forward with the project or not?
Yeah, that's true. When John Horgan was leader of the opposition, you know, at that time, he stood on the bank here and posed with us with the Site C suck sign and all that, and yeah, spoke against the project. That was an opposition, and we see, of course, what happened now as premier. In regards to the BCUC, under the previous government, the BCUC oversight of Site C and a few other projects was removed.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't included during Christy Clark's term.
That's right.
As premier, and Premier Horgan pointed out that was an element that was missing, and he wanted to have that work completed.
That's right.
And it was legitimate.
Yeah.
A good point.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, we all applauded that. We got a little bit concerned when, when we seen how the review was being set up in a rushed way and the very restrictive terms of reference, and that set off some alarm bells, and the optimists, like myself, thought, well, okay, you know, they're doing everything they can to do due diligence and not raise the ire of the now opposition. So, okay, let's give them a chance here. And even with those severe restrictions, the BCUC did a very good job. Everybody basically applauded the work they did. And while they did not, and their job was not to make a specific recommendation, yes or no, they laid out the facts, which clearly laid out that there's real problems with Site C and it was a poor economic choice to proceed. And then, of course, we've seen the Horgan government spin that right around and decide the project has to continue on a phony economic rationale.
Oh, so you were waiting for that announcement. What was your reaction when you witnessed that?
Well, so there was over a month from the release of the final report from the BCUC till when the government made a decision. Mm-hmm. And the handwriting was on the wall in that 1 month period. Like the spin machine went into full mode and everything was done to diminish anything valid that came out of the BCUC. You know, you've seen outside interest groups almost seemingly be working with government to the message they wanted to get out. And so by the time the announcement was made on that fateful day, we honestly weren't that surprised. Very disappointed, but not surprised.
So you had time to prepare for it.
Well, I suppose, yeah. You know, and we threw everything we could at the BCUC process, like the Peace Valley Landowners Association and another group, the Peace Valley Environment Association. We pooled our resources and played a major role in the BCUC process. And we brought on board arguably, you know, the top energy expert in all of North America, Robert McCullough of McCullough Research out of Portland, Oregon. And I mean, his work was quoted more often than anybody else's work in the final BCUC report. You know, I mean, that's his bailiwick. That's what he does. And just days before the announcement, he was one of the few that were chosen to speak, present to the BC cabinet in Victoria. And but despite all of that.
And the conclusion of his work was, what specifically did he say about Site C and the need for it?
Well, I mean, to put it in a nutshell is, that's not where the smart money is anymore. No one's building these big, mega projects in the changing energy environment. It just didn't make any sense to proceed. And that whole sunk cost fallacy that, well, okay, but we've spent so much money already, so now we can't proceed. He blew that one out of the water, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, that was basically it.
And that sunk cost argument
summed it up many different ways in the conversation that, when you find yourself in a hole, just stop digging. And that we have to start looking at that with the project, because as the costs escalate and cheaper alternatives become available, it was ironic that 2 days after the decision was made and the announcement was done, that Alberta was able to secure power at a fraction of the cost of projected cost of Site C, at the lower number, not the higher number.
Which was one of the considerations around Site C, that we would be able to sell excess power to Alberta to offset their peak load times.
Well, exactly. And I mean, we've seen facilities like the Shepherd Natural Gas NMAX facility in Calgary built for a fraction of the cost at about the same capacity for firm power on 30 hectares of land, mm-hmm. not 100 kilometers of
land. Well, that NMAX project is quite a marvel, mm-hmm. And it's supplying the city of Calgary. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural gas cogeneration plant.
To add to that, I know of three other projects similar that are in the works in the Peace River Arch.
Mm-hmm. And so the need for Site C to supply power to Alberta, that argument doesn't stand any longer.
And, and back to the BCUC process, was basically strictly the economic argument.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Horgan government announced that they're going to go and do this review shortly after they're elected, they said, okay, we're going to do a BCUC review to review the economics. But then on top of that, after that comes in, we will consider the other impacts. Well, the other impacts of Site C are all horrible, obviously. You're losing a whole bunch of farmland, River Valley, First Nation impacts. I mean,
The list is long.
Yeah, the environmental impact statement for Site C is 26,000 pages. Those are all problems. And when the certificate was issued for the Site C project after the Joint Review Panel, there was, I believe, around 20 significant harms that could not be mitigated. That's another record for any project approved in Canada by far. I mean, the previous record was like 2 or 3,
uh-huh.
and here they got 20. So you have all that baggage and problems on top of the poor economic case, and then the government decided to proceed anyway.
Well, and they relied on the Utilities Commission report, which is so interesting when you look back at the history of the Utilities Commission. It was first created to examine Site C back in the 1980s when Bill Bennett was premier. Mm-hmm. And he used the findings at that point, which indicated we didn't need the power, and said, okay, we're not going to build it. Your main argument around why we still need to keep our focus on the project right now, and that we seriously have to be asking why we're still committed to this, is what? Like, don't allow me to paraphrase it. I want to hear from you exactly what your argument is.
Well, it isn't required. I mean, we've got recognition of all of our electrical demand items, and we've talked about lighting efficiency and every manner and means of creating efficiencies in our daily electrical consumption. So we've hunted around, we've called the thing a power source for 450,000 homes. That argument was completely blown out of the water by McCullough and Associates, and as well as many of the other arguments. And mm-hmm. every time we curtail production at a sawmill, or we do a cogen biomass facility or something like that at a manufacturing facility, we take that demand out of the picture, and it creates more surplus. So mm-hmm. we're going to have a tremendous electrical surplus in BC that will accommodate every manner of electric vehicle adoption that we might see, every electrical convenience that we can think of, we still have the capacity in BC right now to accommodate all of that, because our older legacy facilities are generating more than they ever did. Some of them are generating 30% more power than they were designed for.
Well, refit at Mica Creek, at Revelstoke, and on and on and on. They are increasing the capacity of those resources that are already in place.
Well, exactly. And I mean, even upriver here at WAC Bennett and
That's
Peace
right.
Canyon.
They just put in that new generator.
Big, huge investments that are probably smart investments by BC Hydro as compared to a very poor investment at Site C, because we'll be selling into a flooded market with Site C at a complete and utter loss. So ratepayers have to pick that slack up somewhere.
And then there are considerations about the site itself. It is a completely different kind of a geographical environment than just up the river at the Peace or at the Bennett Dam. What are the considerations that we need to remain cognizant of as we continue to move forward? Because it's my understanding, it's still not clear that the engineering is 100% sound.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, we've had everything that could happen that should have sent us a warning about the site, as far as tension cracks in the early build that changed the design and caused massive millions of cubic meters of excess excavation on the north bank. Mm-hmm. We've got the rebound problem with the base material on the south bank. We don't know if a powerhouse will even stand the contortions that will happen to it after that rebound takes place, and the material that they're excavating isn't even suitable enough to be used for armor on the banks or any of the areas where we're concerned about erosion. We're importing
because it doesn't pack.
Well, it doesn't pack, and it won't stay solid. We're importing rock from other quarries, depleting other quarries to put rock in areas down at the project to prevent erosion and all of those kind of things. So that in itself should tell us that the material that's there, if it's not suitable for exposure to atmosphere, should we really be using it, as a base for a powerhouse?
And so part of the argument is, yeah, that's while it's exposed, but when the water comes in, it will hold everything in place. Is that an argument that makes any sense?
Well, you can pour concrete, a couple of the locals have talked about pouring a concrete trench all the way from Hudson Hope to the Site C project to make the banks stay. Well, any amount of money, I suppose, could solve a problem, but we're talking about building a facility that has to compete in the open marketplace eventually, and we can't just throw more money at it and expect results on engineering. We've seen problems with the diversion tunnels at this early stage. We've seen the north bank slough in a couple times. It's constantly eroding. We've seen an 8 million cubic meter slide within a kilometer and a half of the site that may not be done moving yet.
Right.
And it's a typical rotational slide that can happen anywhere along this valley, and there's 4,000 of them been identified by LIDAR over the years. And anybody that's trying to build road in this valley, even the relocation of the road, the problem that we're having is finding an area that's stable enough to put a road. But yet we're willing to risk, about $12 billion so far that we know of on questionable geotechnical conditions.
So you know that there are people like that will watch this and go, okay, it's time to get over this and let's get on with it. What do we say to somebody like that that says, no, it's never too late to make a decision that makes sense?
Well, I would say right now what's happening in Newfoundland Labrador is a prime example with the Muskrat Falls. Right now they're having a review to look back at how did they screw up so badly, mainly by proceeding with a dam they should not have built. And so they're just a little bit further than we are right now with Site C. It started at it's going to cost X dollars, and the price just keeps going up, and the delays and the problems keep stacking up that caused those price increases. And
and they have very significant problems.
Oh,
with the project.
And I think pretty much everybody agrees that was a big mistake. Now, even the people who were behind it before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that's where one day we'll be doing that same kind of review. I mean, yeah. What came out in the BCUC is we basically found out that, to put it nicely, you know, it was revealed that hydro had not been telling the truth everywhere. And the price, you know, early on during the review, the president of BC Hydro said, you know, we're on budget, everything's on schedule, blah, blah, blah. Well, by the time the review was over, it was revealed that they weren't on budget anymore. There was going to be a one-year delay on the project. And, yeah, so by the time, just during the period of the review, the price of Site C went up $2 billion. That's not chump change. And it's
right.
And the BCUC predicted that was probably going to happen before it was officially revealed.
I think it's also worth pointing out that there have been other hydro projects in the past in BC, the Kamano Completion Project being one, that it was determined, even though there were, as you point out, sunk costs into the project, ultimately they said, no, we're not going to go ahead and do this. From your perspective, is it time that we revisit that kind of thinking and take another hard look at Site C?
Well, I certainly think so, because when you start looking at the business case that I've maintained has never really existed at any level. The C.D. Howe Institute report that came out with Dr. Golding's recommendations are very clear, mm-hmm. that we're not anywhere near a point where the impact on ratepayers would be as severe as what it will be in the future, so if it's allowed to be completed.
You're going to continue to try and get the decision makers to reconsider? You're not going to give up here, are you? Because there is a point where you can sort of go, okay, well, what can we do?
Well, and I think the way I would put it is, you know, we're clearly not to the point of no return financially on this project. I think, you know, like the C.D. Howe report clearly states that. That's a fairly recent report, and the BCUC found that. So, and what is that point? I don't know. Like, people banter different numbers around. Harry Swain, who was the chair of the environmental assessment, I think he estimated that number would probably be somewhere around $9 billion, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's before you account in all the other negative impacts. So, you know, are the politicians going to take another look at it? I don't think they have an appetite for it right now. They, you know, I think they're locked in, but, you know, I mean, you know, the valley might decide for itself yet. If the diversion tunnels, you know, end up giving way or whatever, the project might be stopped one way or another by something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows?
It's a very interesting chapter in our development as a province and as a society as we move towards, you know, a greater understanding about how we generate supply power, mm-hmm. how markets work, and, you know, the role that we all play in this. You know, I wish you tremendous amount of luck. I unfortunately am out of time already on this because we could talk for 3 or 4 more hours, I'm sure. Thank you very much for agreeing to do this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Yep.
Yeah.